This is URN.
A statement from the University of Nottingham Feminist Society have said that there's a problem with rape culture on campus. Do you think this is a fair statement?
I think it's a difficult statement because I think you can't look at what happened at Florence Boots and say there's no issue here. I think, as I say, what was great about the response to this was that so many students stood up and said, no, we think this is unacceptable. It's students' views that change the student culture. We can provide information and guidance, we can provide educational materials, but actually it's students and their beliefs themselves that change the student culture. So what we have to do is put as many things in place as possible to be able to support that change.
In terms of support for students, recently there's been discussion at the University of Nottingham about not enough services available for students, maybe need counselling, perhaps there being a bigger demand for counselling than the university can provide for. Are there any specific support mechanisms in place for students that perhaps have experienced sexual harassment or have experienced something that isn't within their consent on campus?
Yes, we have staff available, whether that's through our counselling service, whether it's through our student welfare officers in schools, and also within our welfare services. Our head of student welfare will meet directly with any students who've been specifically affected in this way. We have a strong safeguarding culture at the university and a clear policy around safeguarding, and anybody who's we updated that very recently to include serious welfare concerns, so sexual assault, harassment, coercion, forced marriage, any of those kinds of issues, coercive control, we take those very seriously and we provide support through our student welfare services for that. The university is also now engaging in a research project to understand a little bit more about the nature and extent of the issue of sexual harassment on campus. People may have seen stories that came out of the University of Cambridge and other universities around the country where they've done some work to try and dig under the reporting stats. The number of cases that we actually have reported at the University of Nottingham is very low. I mean, one's too many, but it is very low. But I think people naturally have a concern that that's the tip of the iceberg, and actually that there might be a range of different behaviours going on that are unacceptable, that people either don't feel confident in reporting or think, actually, is this something that is reportable? Whilst this is uncomfortable, I'm not sure that this is criminal or this is something that I should be talking about. The project that we're trying to do is to discover a little bit more about that, discover what it is like to work here, and to get more of that sense of how do staff members and students feel about this.
On the Women's March, which happened early May, we went around interviewing students that were involved in the march, and quite a few girls said that they felt on campus and as part of the University of Nottingham they have lines have been crossed, but they've not known how to report it or whether their concern is justified.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think we're still at the moment within our wider culture and our societal culture trying to get used to the fact that it doesn't have to be something that is as serious as a rape for something to be seen as unacceptable and inappropriate. And what we would say is that the harassment email address is there for people to report issues. Nothing's too silly, nothing's too trivial. It may be that actually what you're thinking is a minor thing, actually we would consider to be something quite concerning, and that by making that contact, by reporting it into us, we can then work with you to work out exactly what's going on, provide support to you, and address that concern with whoever it is that's, you know, that's acting in that way. I think what it comes down to is a lack of understanding of the consequences or the impact of people's behaviour. When I deal with student discipline as part of my role, and there are a number of times where students will transgress across a line, and when you get to the bottom of what was going on, it wasn't badly intentioned. These weren't evil people acting in an evil way. There was a naivety about the consequences of their action. So something that was seen as being a joke, I just said this as a joke, it was just meant to be funny. People haven't interpreted, well, actually, the way that somebody else has received that, they've not received it as a joke. They've actually found it really quite hurtful, and you have caused them distress. And that may not have been your intention, but that's actually what's happened as a result of that. And learning about that, understanding that, and then making some better choices about how you behave and the context in which you behave, I think that's a part of the university experience, actually. I think it's part of the growing up experience as you open your eyes to the rest of the world and see how your behaviour can affect other people.
That was our interview with Andy Winter there, who's now with us in the studios. Listening back to what we were discussing earlier and your final points, we finish on that. One of the biggest issues is maybe explaining to people that think something is an innocent joke is actually could really harm someone and really upset someone. Do you think that the case of the graffiti in Florence Boot Hall, has there been, with your investigation, any clearer explanation of the intent behind the action?
No, we continue the investigation, and as I mentioned previously, we would like anybody who has any information to feel that they could come forward and give us information that would help with that investigation. We don't know what the intention is. My experience on campus and having dealt with a number of student disciplinary cases in a whole range of areas is that actually what you find is that in many cases it's naivety. It's a sense of, I didn't realise this would be the consequence of what I have said. What I said was said in jest, and I'm only now realising, oh my God, this has this effect on people, and I can see the distress that I'm causing.
What can the university do, therefore, to try and really make it clear to students? I think, to me, it would seem almost quite obvious that that would, if you do something like that, that's going to attract a lot of attention and you're going to get in trouble. But are there some people that are still genuinely unaware that perhaps misogyny is a hate crime, that this is a very severe issue?
I mean, as I said in the interview, misogyny is only a hate crime in Nottingham. Misogyny isn't a hate crime around the world and within the rest of the country, whilst other people are looking at this. Actually, Nottingham's streets ahead of other places. I think what that tells you is actually we're dealing with a wider culture where people are unsure about these issues and do try and laugh them off as jokes and say, oh no, that wasn't my intention. But when you actually see the effect that it has on people, I think it does bring it home to you that no, this is serious stuff.
A phrase that's bandied around a lot is lad culture. And we spoke about this earlier. I don't think it made it into the interview we played out there, was that a lot of students have just blamed it on lad culture. And actually, when we were talking on the show, we got a lot of text in from people, some leaving their names, that were boys or like male students, saying, this isn't fair, like this is just people taking it far and too far and saying that all boys are like this. It's not fair to make it out that we're being threatening. I think there was quite a division in terms of the reaction, and some people felt almost quite defensive.
Mm. I think, you know, you quite often hear when any argument goes on online and people say men believe this, the usual kind of, well, not all men kind of argument comes out. I think in reality, you know, we know that different people react in different ways to different things. I think with this situation, when we talk about, you know, things that are banded as and branded as lad culture, actually that can be as much women who are engaging in that behaviour as it can be men. I think, as I say, the part that's in there quite often is that people aren't thinking about, well, this is how this will be interpreted, this is how this will be received. And often people will say, well, I didn't intend to hurt you. Having intent is one thing, but actually it doesn't matter whether you intended to hurt me, it actually did hurt me, and that's what we need to deal with.
Yeah, I think what you were discussing there in terms of the naivety of students, and how in the interview you talk about how university needs to be a learning experience for them, and how this, you know, problem isn't just, you know, Nottingham student, it's taking place all around the world. Do you think therefore that the university does have it does have a place in tackling this mentality, or you know, does it rely on larger societal kind of changes, or can the university make a real change to people's mentality?
I think it's about everybody working together. Ultimately, you can't change culture entirely without changing locally. Culture is the aggregation of everyone's behaviours. If we can help our students think about their behaviour and how the society that they want to live in, that will start to engender that change. I think the university has a role in doing that. We should take that responsibility very seriously in providing information, in providing opportunities for students to get together and discuss these issues. And, you know, if we have issues like this that are horrendous, actually being able to use those to have conversations like these and have a positive outcome from them.
Is there any way of kind of marking that change, or is it just more something that you hope to see in the years to come?
I think it's an ongoing process. I don't think there's a silver bullet answer to this where you could do one thing and then everything would change. We know that all students aren't the same. Everybody arrives at university with a variety of different experiences, age, culture, belief, nationality. You know, there are a number of different places that people come from, so there is no one overarching answer. What we can do is provide as many opportunities as possible to drive that discussion, as many materials as possible to raise the issue and to educate people and to just start conversations as much as anything else.
I think as well the student reaction, like you said, has largely been a positive one, with lots of people coming forward and condemning this. I think what's perhaps interesting is the fact that people have not only just been defending this as a joke, but also subsequently making jokes out of it, kind of saying to their friends, oh, was this you? You know, ha, ha, ha. And so I was wondering if you have any particular message to those people, or do you think that they need to learn this for themselves?
I think it's something that people learn for themselves. I mean, you know, the university can send lots of very parental messages to people. Actually, by the time that the vast majority of people arrive at university, they are legal adults. We are not your parents. We don't act in loco parentis. So there is a period of learning for yourself. What we can do is provide some clear guidance, some clear information. And what I would say to people who think some of these things are funny is think about the context. Think about the experience that other people have as a result of this. It's all very well to talk in abstract terms about, oh, this was meant as a joke and it wasn't meant to hurt someone. But if you're sat in front of someone who has seen this and that has given them an emotional reaction, it has triggered some trauma in them, it has made them cry, it's made them worried about their safety on campus, you can't dismiss that and just say, well, it's a joke, you shouldn't be worried about it, because actually that's a double betrayal.
We've actually had a text in, a student saying that on buy and sell jokes were made about rape and the situation. Will there be any repercussions for students to joke about it online, like on social media, I'm guessing they mean, and or should there be any repercussions?
We've actually, we had a report in from a student who'd made a comment on Facebook that we've taken through our disciplinary process, and had a conversation with that student and given them a warning about their behaviour. And again, had this conversation about, think about how this is interpreted, think about the impact that this could have on other people. So if anybody else is experiencing that and if people are aware of it, we would say, you know, feel free to forward that to our harassment email. You can go to the university's website, Google harassment, and harassment and hate crime page will come up as the first.
It's also on the My Nottingham app, isn't it?
Yeah. If you go in the My Nottingham app and click on the wellbeing tab, it's in there and you can go straight through from there.
I think in the news we've seen universities kind of often struggling to deal with online spaces. Particularly, I think the one that springs to mind for me is Harvard, and particular Facebook groups that were set up where kind of very provocative, you know, jokes were being shared. And I think eventually they were taken down. And as well, we've seen in the UK with certain universities having group chats between groups of students that had then been sent in, and the university subsequently had to take action. How much of a role do you think the university has in terms of online space? You know, would it have any influence in terms of a group like Buy and Sell, or does the university kind of think that its barriers kind of stop when it comes to Facebook sites?
No, I think if you look at every student who comes to the university when they sign up to register, they sign up to agree to the code of discipline that we have in place. Within that code of discipline, it talks about social media, and kind of and code of practice around social media. I think what people have to remember is that anything that can be traced back to them, whether that's online or in private conversation, that is going to give people an impression of you. And actually, you know, the internet isn't just this ephemeral thing. People often talk, it's written in stone, and quite often something that you think, well, I said this thing, I pushed it out into the void, I didn't really mean it, can come back and haunt you at a later point and can be brought up time and time again. You've seen that at these universities, Warwick, you know, Exeter. You've seen, you know, you've seen it with things like Toby Young and the Office for Students and things that he'd said in the past in newspaper articles, but also in comments online on his Twitter feed. You know, I think people have to be really conscious about the fact that when they put something online, that does say, well, this is who I am and this is what I believe. And you know, sarcasm is very difficult to do online. Jokes are very difficult to do online. I think our role as the university is to say, that's the code of discipline. That's what you've signed up to. We put that in place to help you, because if you're, you know, in a job and this comes out, you know, you look at what happened to the guys at Exeter, racially related, people lost jobs around that. People lost training contracts, they lost jobs. This is serious real world stuff.
You have your Let's Be Clear About Consent campaign in class. There were consent classes, I think, available last year for students. Do you think it would be useful for there to be available, or perhaps even in at the beginning of Welcome Week, incorporated a speech or some sort of class or lecture about being sensible online with social media?
I think there's more that we can do around all of these spaces, and I think working with student groups to come up with innovative ways to do things will be helpful. I think we need to think about the messages that people are receiving when they arrive at university, and where people are sort of emotionally at that point when people come to university. You remember when you do, mm-hmm. I don't, it's quite a long time ago. But most people, when they arrive at university, they just want to know that they're settled, they're going to make some friends, are they going to like it here? We have to be careful that we don't bombard people with too many messages and also too many things that are saying, don't do this, do this. That feels very, very parental. But I think we can come up with some innovative, interesting things, working with students, collaborating with students, that can run from the first week right through into the middle of that term and onwards, and campaign around these issues, certainly.
This is URN.